All right.
Very good.
Okay, great.
Welcome to our long-term recovery committee meeting. This is our August meeting. My name is Lyle Ray and I wanna welcome you all. Thank you for the hardcore that are coming in the dog days of August to our meeting. Appreciate that. Pauline had the agenda. Why don't you put that back up?
Hold on, yep. It was actually Mike who was sharing it because I wasn't sure what time. Here we go.
So for those of you who are here today, thank you again for coming. We have the welcome, the FEMA funding opportunity presentation, small business survey, discussion of the working groups, additional discussion, and then adjournment. Are there any other pressing agenda items that members who are here would like to add to this agenda, or are we good?
Okay.
Hearing none, okay, the FEMA opportunities.
So so FEMA gave a presentation to the statewide group. I'm hoping this is showing the presentation because
yes.
I can't see, okay, good. And I just wanted to give an overview for the steering committee because one of the things that FEMA is doing is in terms of the recovery, they're looking for people to, I think the summary would be bring us your problems and we'll see if we can match you up with recovery options or funding opportunities. That's sort of the punchline. So I'm going to go through this very quickly for people, and then we can try to answer questions after that. And then we'll definitely share the slides with the group after the meeting. So one of the things is, so this is FEMA Region 1 is what we're are part of. That's part of six states, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, makeup of FEMA Region 1. And they're now that we're, they're looking towards the post-pandemic recovery. And because of the way the pandemic has worked, basically all of the United States would be considered disaster area. So they would be eligible for something, assistance from FEMA. That was sort of the thought. And so they have their sort of structure in terms of what they focus on: economic recovery, housing recovery, health and social services recovery. That feeds into, that's their structure that feeds into the statewide task force that feeds down to us. So that is sort of and they are looking at, as if you recall, Global Resilience Institute, they did a rapid needs assessment of all of FEMA Region 1, and then they did an additional assessment for us, last year for the state of Connecticut, based on, the different Demis regions and COGS. And so what they are looking for this is a slide that is too complicated for me. So this is their emergency support functions, that they have, and their recovery support functions that they focus on. But they are looking for solution-based teams. So what that basically means is we're looking to solve problems. So what are you, bring us your problems and we'll marry you with the right funding opportunities. That is what their presentation was about. So their recovery task force is, look, in your steering committees, so this committee or at the COG level, discuss what your gaps are, what your needs are. Identify things projects that you would like to implement or that you would like to see that would be helpful for the region for its recovery, and what the outcomes should be. How do you measure those projects and understand that they have been successful or not? And I would say, Bill, if at any point in time that I say something incorrect, please correct me.
Okay.
So this is an example of you know, all right. This is an example of what they gave us as an example of a solution-based strategy, a team strategy. What is it that we want? Long-term recovery for the poor, capacity building in agriculture, long-term recovery for the in ports, ports, the ports infrastructure, building that up. I went backwards. Processing, development, and reshoring. So it's basically the main sort of section is the waterfront, and here are the issues. Here and how do we support that? Here are the strategies, and here are potential collaborators, and trying to find the solution for that. So one of the examples that they gave was, so continuing on that example, so it was an example in New London. And so you see collaborations, and you see different potential funding sources. And once again, it's FEMA saying, give us your problems, give us what you want to see done, and we will see if we can marry you with the right people and the right funding sources. So not just FEMA, but other areas as well. And so that is sort of their overall ask of this committee and of the COGS. So with regards to the state of Connecticut, the long-term recovery structure, this is something that actually we're very familiar with. We have the Demos region coordinators, and ours being Bill. We have us over here in the green, Regional Recovery Steering Committee, that's us. And that's supported by the COGS. And then those feed into the statewide recovery steering committee and as sort of that structure. The FEMA long-term recovery is gonna work within this structure, as well as the other RESFs and it's gonna be prioritized at a statewide level. At the statewide recovery steering level, and to try to address as many needs as possible. And so the focus is going to be on recovery, and it's not going to be necessarily here are the different silos. We're focused on solving problems. So what does this mean for us? At our level, it's identifying what are our needs and priorities for the long-term recovery. Identifying that, submitting that to the statewide steering committee, and we're looking at the long-term recovery. What are our needs and priorities for the long-term recovery in our region? We submit that to the statewide steering committee, and the state and FEMA region one work together to sort of fill those gaps and to support that recovery, those recovery priorities. And so that is sort of a 10-minute nutshell of the spiel that FEMA gave in terms of this an opportunity for us to be able to have FEMA sort of be the matchmaker, if you will, in terms of funding opportunities for recovery, for the pandemic recovery. In terms of timelines, they are looking to, the statewide steering committee is looking to get project overviews by October 7th. So this is a very simple application where it just gives a few descriptions of what the project is, what it's going to entail, how much, estimates, guesstimates on what it's going to cost. And we submit that to DECD. And then there's a project prioritization list that is made at the statewide level based on what all the regions have submitted. That then goes to FEMA. And then the matchmaking process begins in terms of that. I think that's all I had. That was a very quick overview. Does anybody have any questions?
So if I may, Pauline, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining. So we're looking for projects. These do not have to be shovel-ready projects. They don't have to already be drawn up on your board or anything. We're looking for projects for revitalization of one of the examples they had given us, FEMA, was a community where there was a mill. The mill fell on hard times. The mill closed, and a lot of the they lost employment in the town started to die off go into disrepair, et cetera. So there's a company that went in there. They put in generators because the mill was close to the water. Using the mill to generate electricity to bring in jobs, and the town is growing again. So something like that, anything that helped revitalize, it could be a town, a city, our region, a group of towns, something to help a group of towns to come back to life, to bring jobs, to help the workforce, to all types of things. And so FEMA, what they're going to do is they're going to work. There's over 100 other federal agencies and entities that have grants, that have some monies, and not every project is going to make it. So it's going to be up to the state to prioritize, and we'll give that to FEMA. FEMA, they'll sit down with us. They'll go over the list of projects and see if they can marry some up. So there may be a project where money may come from 5, 6, or 10 different federal agencies. So it's up to us. This is our chance. This is Region 3, the communities of Region 3. This is our chance to put something together or some projects together that will help us, that will help your communities, that will help our region to rebound and to put some things together. Thank you.
Angela has her hand up. Go ahead, Angela.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Just a quick question on who would be eligible. Does it have the proposal have to come from the municipality, or can it be a 501c3 or CDC? What's the requirement? And are you all looking to coordinate a overall state package as opposed to individualized submissions? Just want to be clear.
So we'll be, the state is going to look, so there may be several packages that we will put to FEMA as far as the 501c3. Madison, I don't know if you're on, I don't know if you can answer questions.
I am here, yes. So hi everybody, I'm gonna be joining these meetings from now on. My name is Madison. I'm on the COVID-19 Long-Term Recovery Task Force with FEMA. So basically, Bill, you hit the nail on the head with kind of the summary of what we're doing. We're just looking for projects. Doesn't have to be shovel ready. It can be, you know, anything. But what we need to stress the most as FEMA is, you know, we don't actually provide the money. We're kind of like a middleman when you think about it. The bigger the better. So if you have, I mean, a lot of these different federal agencies that we have conversations with, so over 100, like Bill said, the bigger the project, the more likely you are to get that funding opportunity. So, I mean, basically, if you're going to go municipality, I would say, yeah, sure, submit it. Why not? But the bigger, the better, definitely. With what I've seen, that's usually how it goes. You know, whole region projects, stuff like that, that usually gets a lot of money just because it's a bigger project and there's more people involved and it's going to have more effect on the state itself. So basically, I mean, that's really what we're looking for. We're looking for anything. I mean, we're starting over with Connecticut. So instead of doing the solution-based teams like we are in the other states, we're going per region. So within each one of these regions, as well as the statewide committee, we're just looking for projects. And then, you know, you can submit one that's little and you can submit one that's large, and then it will go to DECD and they'll, you know, prioritize a list and bring it to us. And we'll be like, well, you know, one of those maybe isn't big enough, and we'll email you back and we'll tell you, you know, maybe is there something else that you can combine with, or someone else that you can, you know, collaborate with and be able to make this project bigger so that you are able to have that funding come your way. So I don't, does that answer your question, Angela?
So I'm just looking at the logistics of an entry. Would an entry go directly to FEMA? Would it go to Bill and Pauline through this organization? Like, how are you looking for submissions to come to FEMA?
So the entry would go, there is, DECD has a form that you fill out, and I can share that. Assuming I can pull it up quickly, I will. I can share that. I think actually what might be better is I will share that with the group after the meeting when I send out the slides. And you can submit it directly to DECD. And what would happen is that it would go to the statewide steering committee. And they would prioritize, this is a high priority for the states or this particular region, and then send that on to FEMA and then take things from there. Okay. And I should say that both Lyle and myself are on, and Bill Turley as well, are on that statewide committee. It's a cast of thousands though.
And this can be any project, the way I'm hearing you. Can I just throw something out there as an example for discussion purposes?
Sure.
Okay. The town of Coventry and the town of Bolton have long looked at a sewer extension program, which would benefit businesses. It would benefit higher density residential development, which is some of the things that are on the forefront right now that we've been all talking about. There's also the potential for a waterline extension, and there is an area that could be used as either an affordable or a senior complex housing if the sewer extension were to happen. Just wondering, is a project like that, something like that, would that be eligible? Or would at least be worth throwing in the pot to see if it's something that would go?
I think it'd be worth, Lyle, correct me if I'm wrong, and Pauline, but I think it'd be worth putting together. You know, the bigger, the better. We got to remember that there is competition with across the state and across the country. These federal agencies, 100 or so, they have X amount of dollars, and so we are competing. So we want to think big, but I would not say no to that, and to put that together, and to and then we will look at it. The statewide committee will look at all the projects, and so yeah, cost benefit analysis, all that stuff. It will be good to have. And I realize there is a short time. We have until October 7th.
I would agree with that. The form that the state requires is very straightforward. It's very simple to fill out. So no harm, no foul. It'll probably take you about, Patrice, if you're familiar with it, it'll probably take you half an hour, 45 minutes to fill out it at the most. So it definitely, why not? It's 45 minutes of your time for potentially being able to get it. I mean, one other area that I thought of in terms of our region is the solid waste issue in terms of something that will definitely, I'll be bringing up at Municipal Services to put a submission for that, because once again, that is actually huge, and it would be a benefit to the whole region. And we can try, and if we don't get it, then we haven't lost anything.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question, especially for retail, but especially for retail, there's not that many places where a retail can go for funding. It's my understanding. We've been working very closely with DECD, and they've been great throughout this whole process with the small businesses. But if we put a proposal in, will it go from the same funds that they already have, or is it going to be something separately?
My understanding, Julio, that it's going to be separate, that the particular, that this is separate from the funding that DECD is already working with. So DECD has some pots of money that they're looking at right now that is sort of a separate, on separate tracks, you know, the Build Back Better funding, and some of those fundings would be separate from these.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions. Somebody's doing some lawn mowing in somebody's house. I'm not sure who. are there any other additional questions with regards to this? I will share out the link and this presentation after the meeting, as well as the recording, so that people have that. We'll be taking this up not only in this group, but also in the other CROG meetings as well. So. Okay. All right. The other thing that was on the agenda is the small business survey. It's up, it's out, it's not, so mostly because of bandwidth, I have not done a push to small businesses to fill this out, but it is up and live. It's tinyearl.com/SB Survey 21 will get you there. Once again, that's another thing that I will send out to the group afterwards. It's in Spanish and Polish, if that's needed. I've been told that this says, if you want Spanish, click on the right and, you know, choose Spanish. And if you want Polish, same thing. It's up, and I would say once we get the URL out to you all to share with your small businesses, pass it along, and we'll see where we get and what we get back, and see if we can determine what the needs are.
Any questions about the survey? All right.
Is there a time frame when you want the responses back?
I think we'll be collecting throughout September. Probably we'll see how many responses we get in the next couple of weeks once we do a push. I would say third week of September is probably ideal, but if we don't get a lot of responses, we might just keep it open a little bit longer.
All right, ready for committees?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
John would be health and social services and housing. I don't, is he still on?
Yep, there he is.
He did really good.
Always at the beach.
Summarizing the FEMA presentation, good. we've switched to a 1 month meeting, which we just had a week ago. We're starting to see, as you would imagine, with the uptick in COVID positives, we're seeing the CRCs had a month-long extension. And the question is, will it need to be longer? They're seeing about a doubling of phone calls on a every other week basis. And the amount of resources that originally existed, you know, shelf-stable food boxes, things like that, have dwindled. So they're trying to, And that one of the things that they brought to our attention is that the people and families who are getting sick now look nothing like the families that got sick over the last curve mm-hmm. we went through. That was like different needs. So they have to constantly keep adapting to those needs and getting creative with funding sources mm-hmm. and things like that. It may turn into an unmet need unless we nip this in the bud and start seeing the COVID numbers decrease. But that's something a little concerning, and then on the, the feeding side, there's less of the mass scale feeding pantry distributions, got more back to the traditional networks. I have a new food partner coming in, the name eludes me at this moment, but coming into Manchester that will be part of the food distribution in the state, based out of Manchester. I know Food Share is still doing a Tuesday distribution in East Hartford. I drove by there yesterday. There was quite a few cars. I don't know what normal is, so I don't normally go by it, but they had a lot of cars yesterday when I went by there. So there's still a food need. We're starting to see an uptick in requests for energy assistance as 211 calls have come in. Housing assistance always remains high, but it's been quite stable. We don't know, once the federal rent abatement period ends, what that might translate to, and just hooking landlords and tenants that are behind in their rents up with, Unite CT, seems to be like there's been some hardships in there that have slowly been the town social services offices and the CRCs and other nonprofits have learned the ropes of that system. They seem like they've been able to navigate it better. That's kind of really where we're at. For homelessness, there's still a challenge with vaccinating and isolation of sick populations. They have gotten the ability to, I guess, use hotel rooms again for anyone that's at most risk or positive. So that is going to continue for the time being. But as we go into the winter time, we're already short beds, and if we have to keep maintaining the distance between people and less people in those shelters, what's it going to really mean? It's going to be another tight winter, just like the last winter. So that's a concern. And that's basically it. Senior centers are mostly operating with to-go meals. Some try to hybrid with a little like in-house and then to-go. And because of, the COVID numbers increasing, I think a lot of our seniors are just taking advantage of the to-go meals, which a lot of the centers have really gotten down quite well, and it actually, it's almost easier for them than to have, the full sit in and deal with everyone in person. So that's been working. And Bill, you weren't on that call, right?
No, I was not. Wasn't able to make it.
Yeah, I don't know how my notes with me, but I think that's the gist of it. That's kind of what came out of that meeting. Again, a lot's driven by COVID numbers and the fact that they are increasing and the calls coming in for unmet family needs or isolation help have increased. They're back over, 100 calls a week and keeps rising. Any questions?
Do we know if we'll hear from the state whether they'll be extending the CRCs for...
Well, they extended them 1 month, and whether it's going to be, they're supposed to end at the end of August, so next week, and they got an extension to the end of September. I think they're doing the CRC is going to have to make a case probably within the first or second week of this month for the state to extend it, because if it were to stop today, all that's going to fall on the different town social services offices and other nonprofits, and they've gotten some expertise in how they do it. Like I said, it's evolved and changed, but they kind of know the questions to ask. They know where to find resources, even if it's a little bit harder. Whereas if you start putting it out there and everyone on every town has to deal with that, it's going to be a little bit more challenging. Yeah. So probably be more requests to, you know, us as a group, maybe to help solve problems where right now the CRCs have been able to mitigate a lot of those problems from even reaching higher than the region level.
Yeah. One of the last meetings I was on it, they were not leaning towards extending it further. So not a definite decision yet, but they were not leaning towards an extension.
Yeah, we'll see if the numbers stabilize with COVID. You know, if the numbers start going down again, then the calls will go down again.
Yep. All right. Thank you, John, for that. The next report, Pauline?
Oh, it would be the Small Business Committee, and I would say we're meeting about over the summer we met once a month because of the scheduling, and I would say we're still looking for volunteers for that committee and the Small Business Survey. They're very helpful in developing that, and we're looking forward to seeing what we get back, and then we'll take things from there. And I think the other committee was the cultural committee, and we haven't formed that yet. We're looking for people who would be wanting to be on it.
Yep. I guess the only other thing is an announcement that I'm retiring at the end of August, but I will be on contract at CROG through the end of the year. So unless somebody else wants to step up and do this, I'm happy to continue in the role of chair. If someone else is anxious to do it, I will be delighted to relinquish. So just let us know.
We're keeping Lyle as chair, at least of this committee.
Yep. So just to let you know. All right. Is there any other business, Pauline, or others? Next meeting? Next meeting?
It would be scheduled for the last, let me just, I don't want to. It would be September. Well, it would be September 23rd because that's the fourth Thursday, but if we may move it to September 30th, just so that it's not crammed in at the same time as all the other CROG meetings.
I think you might have thought it, yeah.
So September 30th would be the next meeting.
September 30th. Okay.
Wonderful.
Any other comments before we close our meeting today?
Thanks for all you do, Lyle.
Well, thank you, Jeez. You got to cheer the transportation committee more often.
We're going to try and keep it together.
There we go.
Wonderful.
All right.
And I would just ask if everyone would share the information that was presented today with your neighboring communities. So that we can get some really good projects for our region and to help our region and our communities. Yep. And our people.
And I will share that, share those out after the meeting, either today, later today or tomorrow morning.
Including a link to the DECD form, yep. Pauline?
Yeah, it'll include the link to the DECD yep. form.
There is a lot of activity behind the curtain going on right now, so we'll keep you posted as it goes. So. Yep. All right.
Great. All right.
Wonderful.
Good to see everybody.
We're good.
Right.
Take care.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good afternoon.
Bye. Thank you.